It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're once again in the book of Revelation as we continue that study, and we're going to begin with reading concerning Pergamos, the church, and then we're going to go on to Thyatira. And so please that you will join me in verse 12. And we've studied most of that church already, but we're going to review it a little bit, and then we'll get on to the next church, the church of Thyatira. While you're looking that up, again, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, you can write to us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 12. And the angel of the church of Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Now the church of Thyatira. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burdens, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give them the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." We've read now Pergamos and Thyatira both, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you and praise you today that we can come together, enjoy this precious time. It's wonderful to come together and study your precious word. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us and strengthen us today. Show us your way. Show us your will, dear Lord, please. I just ask that you'll touch the hearts of those that are lost, do not know you as their Savior, that they'll be born again, that they'll come by faith to you, They'll realize that the cross of Calvary is the only place that they can find true salvation. So please, that they trust in you today. And dear Father, please, I ask that you'll touch the hearts of the saved, that they will be quick to speak your precious words and share that wonderful gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to all. Please, please, dear Lord, help us to be good witnesses and help us to have our light shine ever so brightly. Now please speak to our hearts and guide and lead us as we have this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of just a little bit of review as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that this 12th verse once again gives us the glorious, wonderful description of our Lord Jesus. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The sword proceeds out of his mouth. We need to understand that this, while here he is said to have this sharp two-edged sword, we know that the sword is a symbol of judgment. And this sword, as it proceeds out of his mouth, is not only judgment, but it is the judgment that comes from the Word of God, because that's what this is. The Word of God, as we have in our hand, this precious Scripture, the Bible. That's the reason I stay with the King James. I don't move from it. I stay right with it. I don't have any interest in coming to new versions of the day. I don't have any desire to do that whatsoever. All I do is come and we enjoy it, we look at it, and we fellowship over God's precious Word. And please be a wonderful, good student of the Word of God. I just ask you that you do that today. It's precious. It's ever so precious. So please, that you would just help us as we study today, look to the Word of God, know that it is God's Word, His truth. Stop trying to find something that's easier to read. There's nothing easier to read than the old King James. So you stay with it, you learn it, you watch it, and we're going to enjoy it. Understand, salvation can be found in this book. Understand that not only salvation is found in this book, but also judgment is found in this book, this precious book. And so we need to know that this sharp two-edged sword is none other than the Word of God. And so when God speaks, it's going to divide, it's going to destroy evil, just as if a sword was present. We found that back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the last time we were together. We love these wonderful words in the 13th verse, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And so when we see the I know there, it is wonderful to see that. It is wonderful to understand that. I know. And he does. He knows everything. He knows what we need tomorrow. He knows what we need today. He knows everything. And so please, just trust him and walk with him. And don't let fear enter in. Serve the Lord with gladness and with joy. We see here that Satan is attempting to destroy the church. He tried his best up until this time to do it from the outside, decided and realized that wasn't going to work. So now he's moved inside, and he has taken religion and religious men and used them to further Satan's work from the inside. And so many folks, you know, oh, that person's very religious. If you say that to me, you may not mean it that way, but it is an insult. Because I am a Christian, a born-again believer, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And many times today, a religious person is just a person that attends church, that is a maybe a right and proper kind of a person, maybe. But and that's what we should be. But religion is a tool of the devil. And he wants you to be religious. He wants you to go to church every Sunday and never miss and sit there in that pew. He doesn't care that the preaching is not the truth. He doesn't care about that. He just wants you to get involved. That's the reason that so many false religions have been started. And as these cults, these false religions grow so rapidly, it's because Satan's just tickled with them. He loves people to be religious. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. And I love my Lord and I serve my Lord. I want you to do the same. I don't want you to be just a religious person. A religious person many times is one that just hangs on to the doctrines of their church. Now, that could be fine if the doctrines of the church are correct. If they are not, then I just ask that you will search them out. How do you know whether they're right or not? Go to the Word of God. You are not able to learn from the Word of God unless you're born again. So you see, there's some steps that need to be taken, and you need to be born again. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. If you will do that, if you'll trust in Jesus as your Savior, then you can be able to learn and to grow. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. You have the great teacher whenever you're saved, whenever you've trusted in Jesus. If you've not trusted in Jesus, then you don't have, it's just another textbook. It's nothing. But when you're born again, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, this book comes alive because it's just like talking to the Lord Jesus face to face. Please trust in Him. Be saved today and begin that wonderful walk. Don't be religious. We read Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30 last time we were together. And so that is concerning Paul and his conversation about this. And so please that you, if you did not get the chance last time to look that up, Acts 20, 29 through 30. As we talked about last time, Pergamos was the capital of Rome in Roman government in Asia. And so heathenism, idolatry, that's what was the strongest. Pergamos was the center of idolatry and the center of persecution and the center of the suffering of believers was found here. The reason is because we find the words that it was Satan's seat in verse 13. It was Satan's seat. Satan dwelleth down at the end of verse 13. So we kind of find out what kind of a place this church of Pergamos, what kind of an area that it's really what's made of. And so they set out to destroy Christianity again from the inside. And so Satan's headquarters, literally, is here in Pergamos. And so the devil does have a throne, and he dwells right here on earth. And he is the God of this world, and so understand that. This time that we're looking at right now with the Church of Pergamos is the time that moves up to the time of Constantine. Now, Constantine learned more about the Christians, and the more he learned, the more he realized that he could trust them. So what he did was went in and banned all other religions and put Christianity at the highest position. Now you'd think, boy, that's great. Well, it would be if they were born-again believers that were involved with this, but instead of that, they came and they compromised. And so now we have a union between the church and the state. The government today spends way too much trying to separate the two. We should not have a government-led or the government religion. We should not have that. But for our God to have influence upon our government is a requirement if we're to succeed. And that is the reason that we're having so much problems today, is because this nation and the leadership of this nation has become so ungodly. And we cannot speak the name of Jesus. We have no freedom of serving and praising our God as other religions do. The believers, Christians, are persecuted and criticized, and we are totally left out today. And this nation is becoming a very, very ungodly nation. Here in this time of Constantine, now, he was a Roman Empire. During his reign, which was between 324 and 337 A.D., he established a town in his name, and it became then Istanbul in Turkey. And so you get kind of a geographic location. he was very strong, and again, he was the one that brought this alliance between the church and the government. This is really when the church left the homes. We have, in today's standards, a small church, but it is a very mighty church. We are rich, not materially, not financially, but we are rich spiritually because we are staying true to the Word of God. Because of that, the world does not like it, does not want it. And so if you're listening to this program and you wondered whether there was anyone out there that are like-minded with you, that you're standing with the old King James Bible and you sing the old hymns and we stay true to the Word of God, if you thought maybe there didn't exist anymore, you have the new age church, and you have churches that have two services. They have the conservative and or the old traditional, and then the modern service. If that's the case, that's proof right there that you're not where you should be if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That in itself tells you that it's a compromising church. Well, God condemns this compromising church here of Pergamos. And this alliance, what it did was brought the church, the believers, the small group of believers, out of their homes, they were meeting in homes, literally. And it started the building of these magnificent temples and churches. And so you come why do you attend church there? Oh, look at that building. It's such a beautiful facility. We need to have a building that is wonderful for our God. But our God doesn't praise us for a beautiful building. He praises us for what's in our hearts, not for something that we have built to show our praise to Him. Now, we have an older building here. We maintain it. We keep it up very nice. It looks very nice, but it's sure nothing fancy. And I think God is pleased with that because we take the offering and it goes into the ministry. And one of those ministries is the radio. And so we have the opportunity to take the gospel out, and we have not invested it in some sort of fancy temple or building as some have. And so we stand for the Word of God, and we want to get the Word of God out. So the church went from poor to rich, but they really went from rich to poor because they have left. And it really remains today, as we've talked about many times, that remains in our day-to-day. We are told to come out from among them. We are to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. How can two walk together except they agree? Now, think about those things. Now, I hear many times that people go to church because there's some powerful youth group and they think their kids, that's the only way they're going to hang on to their children. Their kids love to go there, but the doctrine of that church is wrong. You know it's wrong. Oh, that's dangerous, my friend. Very, very dangerous. Grow your kids up knowing the Word of God. Grow your children up listening to the beautiful old hymns that we have, because that's what's going to make them solid. All the hip-hop of the day that we call Christian music, and that's an abomination in itself, with much of the music that's out there and much of the groups. You look at the pictures of these Christian groups, and especially Christian rock groups, you can't tell them apart from the world, nor can you tell them apart with their music. That in itself, again, should show you that it's a compromise to supposedly save our children. That is a lie that's fed by Satan. And so please forget that compromise. Come out from among them. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. And understand that you cannot walk together except you agree. And the only way we can agree is by standing truthful upon the Word of God. And so please that you look to that. And so this time period of Constantine was critical in merging this together. And so as we look at this 13th verse of back in the Church of Pergamos, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas. Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. As we look at this, even though you live right where Satan's headquarters, where that's at, you are still holding fast to my name. You see, there was a handful that didn't compromise. Even though the state came in and started building these big, magnificent churches and things like that, there was a small group that stayed with the truth. We have stayed with the truth here. I hope you have. I hope you have. You still hold fast my name. That's the name that and the power of this church is the name of Jesus Christ. Not denied my faith. I have stood true to you. Antipas was my faithful martyr. He stayed faithful all the way to death. Antipas. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. Ephesus left thy first love. Pergamos, God has things against them, more than one. Things, plural, if you'll notice there. Sometimes he would say, I have something against thee. Here he says, I have a few things against thee, and one of them is the doctrine of Balaam. Let's just bring in the Moabite women. It worked. They intermarried. The doctrine of Balaam. The Old Testament, Israel committed adultery in having fellowship with the Gentiles. The New Testament church is charged with fornication in allowing friendship with the world. Now let's go to the Moabite women, the doctrine of Balaam, a stumbling block. That's what it was. It was a stumbling block. Solomon had a similar problem when they would bring him a bride from another country. And Solomon had many wives. And by having all these wives, then instead of him saying, you will bow down to the God of Israel. But instead of that, he would build them their little temple to worship the God that they wanted to worship. And it was Solomon's downfall. Here we find, let's just bring in the Moabite women. And they begin to intermarry. And the power was gone. Let's look at the Old Testament, Jeremiah 3:8, concerning the fornication of Israel. Jeremiah 3:8. I hope you're able to look these verses of Scripture up. I don't pre-write them down. I look them up when I ask you to, so each one of us have plenty of time to find them. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. What a price. Now, if we look at the New Testament scripture, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. How that they have allowed friendship with the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And we're going to read through verse 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you see, we can't be friends with the world, and that's what we've tried to do, or that's what we've done. Love not the world, and come ye out from among them, the scripture says. And we need to do just that. Come thee out from among them. Separate yourself, my friend. Can't play the game. You can't play the game. Verse 15. Chapter 2. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, we had a church someplace, didn't we, that hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Here they hold to it. The church of Ephesus, back in the 6th verse, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let's read verse 15 again. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Who changed? God didn't. The people did. The people did. The setting up on certain folks to rule. Remember, that was the problem. Instead of everyone being equal, now I'm the pastor of the church, but I have no authority to forgive sins. I have no authority to do anything. My purpose as a pastor is to lead the church, to teach them the Word of God. But you see, each one of us possess the Holy Spirit. Anyone that's born again has the Holy Spirit within their heart. They too can learn. And so as I lead, I lead as a servant, not as someone in a higher position. And today, most of our churches call their preachers reverends, which is wrong. Or priest, which is wrong, or father, which is wrong. I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. And my call is to lead the people to where they're closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for them to be closer means they're stronger, more light. I just keep giving them the light. And they love the light, and they grow. Difference from the doctrine of Balaam, but the same result. One is a compromise with the world. The other is a position of leadership. Both bring it to a place of ruin, and it comes to a position of unholy teaching. Repent. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Come quickly, or here's what's going to happen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now we're going to start with that 17th verse next time we come together, because there's too much there. But the requirement is to repent. The result, he's going to come quickly if you don't. And judgment is coming. So they have two problems there. One, the doctrine of Balaam. One, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Both of them need to go. Repent, he says. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?